Will you pray with me, please? O God, through whatever inadequate words are now to be spoken, may your living words somehow reach through to the core of who we are and who we are called to be, and to what the world more and more is waiting for. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The plot could hardly be more simple. Man walks up to two fishermen, says, "Come with me." And they get up and do it. He sees two more fishermen, says the same thing. And they get up and follow. That's pretty much it. Except that real flesh and blood are moving, living in the story. As our flashing eyes, real courage, considerable loss and risk and uncertainty and vision and pulsing joy and the beginning of momentous transformation that will ripple from here into the world. And here's another thing. Among those in the story who are interrupted by the call of Christ, very likely is you. And the historical setting of the story is very likely to be right now. I think it would be good to try to see as clearly as we can what was happening in its original historical setting. Two young men are standing thigh deep in lake water, throwing out big nets, hauling them in, throwing back out. This is not for fun. It is their trade. Whatever they catch will amount to their income. These two are brothers, Andrew and Simon, and they do not have a clue that someone at a distance has fixed his eyes on them and is now very purposefully striding toward them. He gets to where they are, stops and looks at them as they look at him. Then he says, "Follow me." And I guess he was smiling as he said the rest. "Boys, I'll show you some real fishing. Come fish with me for human life." Andrew and Simon look at each other, and both can see that the other can feel it. They nod to each other and head for the shore. And they drop their nets onto the sand and walk away, just walk away with Jesus. Why so instantly? Why does it seem so almost automatic? Did they already know something about this man? Almost surely they did, because he was now living in their little town, Capernaum. He had moved from Nazareth to take up residence there. And already he was talking, proclaiming news, good news, he called it, of God's kingdom being very near at hand. People were spellbound by the way he spoke. The authorities wouldn't like it much because he talked about how the power of powerful people wasn't very real. And how God favors the lowly and the outcast. How God was already at work to lift them up while the know-it-alls and the judgmental were on their way down. There was risk in what he said, but there was joy in it too. He could speak so severely at times, but there was also and mostly this electrifying gladness in him. and wonders were happening, and a new world seemed possible. Now there he was, standing there on the shore right in front of them, looking into their eyes and inviting them, right now, follow me. And they have to decide, am I in or out? Do I leave my life and walk from my possessions and my place to risk myself with him, his cause, his faith? They see the gladness in his eyes. Without a word, they walk to shore, throw their nets on the ground, and as he turns to move on, they follow. Just up the beach, happens all over again. Two more brothers, John, James, sitting in a boat with their dad, mending their nets. They look as Jesus calls. He calls them as he called the others. And instantly, without a word, they got out of the boat and left their father too. What's left on the lake is a rocking of a boat, mostly empty now, and with a father, mouth wide open. I can't believe they left me. Off they go. Now four following Jesus. And here's the question. Do you recall any moments in your life that bear at least a little of the feel of that? A moment arrives and presents an invitation to do what the core of you strongly suspects is the right thing now. Though maybe it would cost you something, would be inconvenient and challenging and uncertainly, and also possibly thrilling and offering some new way of being. Maybe this was the possibility of some major turning point in your life, or maybe some rather small thing that if you did choose it today and then chose it again tomorrow might very well open up to a very significant change of life. I wonder if a great many of our days whisper that kind of invitation, if we'll hear it, and whether or not it is quite often really the invitation of Christ, follow me. And we do, or we don't. And there's a big difference in what those two may be accomplished by. Because following is actually about saying yes. But not following doesn't have to involve actually saying no. It can mean just saying nothing, doing nothing, staying occupied with other things, or just putting off a decision. But putting off a decision might just as well be saying no. As Harvey Cox said, not to decide is to decide. Did you know that there were other people out there fishing on the day that Peter and John and Andrew and James got their call from Jesus? Out there in another boat were Dick and Jane, Bert and Ethel. Follow me, said Jesus. Well, how safe is it? Said Dick. This is theologically problematic, said Jane. I am in an existential crisis, said Bert. It's hot out here today, said Ethel. And they all turned to tell him, we're thinking about it. But Jesus had already gone. In the most crucial matters It is possible to miss our chance. A moment arrives and it's time to choose, to act, to speak, to say yes to this and no to that, and commit to doing, choosing what is right. And if we do not act on it, how many times do you think we'll hear the invitation to act again? We feel the stirring of the truth in ourselves. If we do not act on the stirring, how long before the stirring ceases? If for the longest time we aren't listening, the day will arrive that we cannot even hear. Put off long enough acting on what you know, and in time, you can even lose the knowing of it. Is this why the story makes a point, not once, but twice, of saying they immediately followed him? Now, why do so many of us find it hard to choose what is right when the right time presents itself? Maybe it is because choosing one thing always means goodbye to the alternatives. Choosing the Christ way means goodbye to whatever else has been controlling you, goodbye to the claims of persons or groups to control you and use you. It means goodbye to the convenience of coasting through your life, or to being a slave to your ambition or illusions of yourself. Goodbye to the grip of your addictions and illusions. Goodbye to your need to be needed. Goodbye to paralyzing fear, to the burden of guilt you really thought you had to carry. But you don't. And goodbye to a narcotized soul and a joyless life. Some of that is kind of hard to walk away from if you've been carrying it for years. No wonder we hesitate when the moment comes to choose the Christ way, when it means saying goodbye to all of that. I have been drawn to a poem by Mary Oliver called The Journey. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do. It was already late enough and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognized as your own that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the life you could save. I would call that a Lake of Galilee decision. And did you know that the word decision at root means to cut from? As the word incision means to cut into, the word decision means to cut away from. to be left with what you are persuaded is best. So there you are, and there on the lake shore stands God's beloved, speaking to us in a voice that means to be our truest voice. Follow me. And it's time for decision. Invitation to cut free from all that cannot save us, so as to run with all our might to the way that will, to the one who will. And if we say, I did that already, the divine reply may well be, yes, you did, but this is a new day. Time for how you'll decide again. One more thing. Did you know that deciding to follow Jesus was easier for the second pair of brothers than it was for the first pair? It's obvious. When they, the second pair, heard the call, they looked up and saw the other two had already made the choice to go. They saw the gladness and the freedom in their faces. Which is simply to say, when any of us, or any few of us, will decide for the Christ way and take our stand for his way in this world, it helps the rest of us to choose and keep choosing what is right. The courage of your faith can kindle the courage of mine. And so it will grow. It will grow here and beyond here, and it will grow throughout the world. That's what he called us for, to choose his gladness and his freedom for the sake of God's love, to change the world, beginning with us. Let us pray. Hear us, O God, in our desire to say yes. May we rise up, do what is right, and follow. We will do an unusual thing for us now and have a sung response. I invite you to turn to number 358 in your hymnal. We are going to remain seated and sing only the second verse. Following that, we will have a moment of silence.